Well, praise God. Welcome to this week's session of the Lives of Honorable Men. I'm glad you're here with me. We'll take off where we were before exams, which was in chapter 7 of the Lives of Honorable Men. We've gone over three mentalities or the accurate mental attitudes of covenant. We've gone over the first three, four actually. Let me repeat them just to make sure we're all on the same page. The first four we covered. Let me get to it. All right, I am there. Number one, we follow those we have covenant with. That's first mental attitude of covenant. Number two, we are inseparable from those we have covenant with. Number three, we are connected together in destiny with those we have covenant with. Number four, we carry the same concerns as those we have covenant with. So number five, we'll take off there. We partake in the same grace as those we have covenant with. Now, this is important, that we partake in the same grace with those we have covenant with. Grace, let's define grace. I think it's important that we define grace because grace has been really mistaught lately. Grace has been taught as almost a cover to sin rather than an empowerment or the empowerment. God's favor, his special treatment, his favor on our lives is for one purpose, to help bring to pass his kingdom in earth realm. This is important. So grace is all encompassing when it comes to being empowered. Wherever you are in your relationship with God, his grace is sufficient for you. What does that mean? It simply means this. Wherever you at in your walk with God, whatever empowerment you need to help bring up to pass his agenda, God gives it to you. So now, even if you are a new Christian, a new believer, a baby Christian in Christ, and you have certain sins that you're trying to overcome, well, God's grace will empower you to overcome those sins. God's grace will empower you to be able to overcome those shortcomings. This is why forgiveness is so important with God. God forgives us. We can ask for forgiveness. Why? Because then his grace comes in to empower us to overcome. Now, let's take it to another level. So now you're no longer dealing with particular sins, but you have different roadblocks in your life that you can't figure out, or you can't cross over, or you can't get around. God will then, his grace will empower you to deal with those things. The apostle, it's amazing how Apostle Paul kept saying, I am what I am only by the grace of God. Look in Philippians 1. Turn it with me. Philippians, the first chapter. In Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Look at verse 5. This is Apostle Paul talking to the Philippians. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, even it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Listen to what he says, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now that is an apostolic statement, and an apostolic statement of importance. You must carry the same grace of your leader. In other words, grace is there to empower. So whatever he or she is called to do, God has graced them to do it. Now, I don't know why we think that God grace them to accomplish a certain agenda or to bring to pass a certain agenda or accomplish a certain task, and he connects us to them and not allow us to have access to that same grace. So this works throughout the body of Christ. You have the fivefold ministry gift. You have the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. All right, so within the culture of honor, an evangelist doesn't actually have to be an apostle. If an evangelist is connected to an apostle, then that evangelist can walk in apostolic grace. A prophet doesn't have to be an apostle, but if he or she is connected to an apostle, then that a prophet would carry an apostolic grace. Apostle doesn't have to be a prophet or a pastor, but if he or she is connected to a prophet and a pastor, then he or she would carry that pastoral grace. See, I don't know why we get a problem with ranks and have a problem with graces and calling. Timothy, as portrayed, was a pastor, but Timothy walked as an apostolic pastor. At times when necessary, Timothy was able to walk in the apostolic office, not because he was an apostle, was because he was connected to the Apostle Paul. And, isn't it, what's important, carried the same grace. Why did he carry the same grace? Because he carried the same agenda. Why did he carry the same agenda? Because he had the same concerns. I hope you're seeing this. So the Apostle Paul is telling the Philippians, ye all are partakers of my grace. So the Apostle Paul said, what I'm called to do, because God has connected you to me, you're called to do the same thing. And if you're called to do the same thing, you carry the same grace. This is very important that you grasp this mental attitude. Because whoever God has connected you to, you carry the same grace that they carry. So that means you don't have to be in the pulpit to carry that grace. You carry that grace in your business. You carry that grace on your job. You carry that grace wherever you go. Why? Because the ultimate purpose of grace is to carry out God's agenda, or to be empowered to carry out God's agenda. Watch this. The Philippian church were participating in the furtherance of the gospel together with Paul because they were partaking with the same grace Paul was tapping into. They were drawing the grace from Paul and have now been equipped to become co-laborers with him. Are you going to become a co-laborer with your leader? Or are you going to continue just to go to church on Sundays and midweek Bible studies just to try to find answers to solve your problems? See, this is a key question that has to be asked. This is a fundamental shift when you shift from the old paradigm to the apostolic government of God. Look at 2 Timothy, verses 1, chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is very powerful. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuade that is in thee also. He's talking to Timothy. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. There it is. Paul is encouraging Timothy and reminding him, listen, you come from a lineage of people that walked in faith. You know, you have a connection to me. Because you have a connection to me, you have access to the same grace. So I need, notice it. The Apostle Paul didn't say, I'm gonna stir up the gift. He said, Timothy, you stir up the gift that's within you. So there are going to be times when you have to encourage yourself, stir up the gift that is in you to stay the course. Because the number one thing the enemy wants to do is to get you off course and to get you from under the grace that empowers you. The grace that empowers you to carry out God's agenda. Let that sink in. The grace that empowers you to carry out God's agenda. Paul is encouraging Timothy to not to walk in fear because he has a grace. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is saying, is telling him, listen, you're connected to my grace. You're connected. You cannot fail. You're connected to a grace in which we are to accomplish God's will. That's why the Apostle Paul was so fearless in what he did, because he relied on God's empowerment. He knew it wasn't him. He knew it was God working through him. Remember what he told the Philippians? He told the Philippians that God is going to complete the work that he started in you. God is going to complete. The reason why God connected you to your man or woman of God is that there is a work that he wants to complete in you. You must tap into the grace of your leader. You must tap into that empowerment. How do you tap into that empowerment? When you, the first three lets us know we follow those we have covenant with. We are inseparable from those who we have covenant with. Number three, we are connected together in destiny with those we have covenant with. We carry the same concerns, which leads us to be able to partake in the grace of our leader. It's very simple. I see it happen over and over and over again. My time that I've been around Apostle pretty much all my life, but the time that I've really been able to pay attention to people coming in and out of his life, it always works out the same way. Those that connect to him take on the grace that's on his life. It's important. He took on the grace of his spiritual father, Brother Hagin, took the grace on and began to walk in it. And I see that every person that God connects to him walks in that same grace, which brings the same results. You are destined to get the same results as your leader. So that's why you have to be careful about the leader you choose and make sure that God has connected you to that leader. Because if that leader don't progress, you're not going to progress. If the leader don't want to move no further, you're not going to move any further. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Those in covenant must have this mentality to tap on the same grace to synergize together to finish the assignment of God for our lives. So it's going to be impossible to complete what God has called you to do if you don't tap into that grace. Once again, how do I tap into that grace? It's very simple. Do the first four things. Number one, we follow those we have covenant with. We are inseparable from those we have covenant with. These are all mental attitudes that you have before you're able to partake in that grace. Number three, we are connected and together in destiny with those we have covenant with. Number four, we carry the same concerns. Watch and see how this makes sense. And so number five, we're able to partake in the same grace as those we have covenant with. The sixth accurate mental attitude of covenant is we must pay the price to honor those we have covenant with. Go back with me to Ruth, the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Let's see, Ruth. Look in the 18th verse, I believe it is. Yeah. We must we pay the price to honor those we have covenanted with. You must develop honor and respect for the relationship that you have with your leader. If you don't develop the honor and respect, then you're not going to be willing to pay the price to be in covenant with them, because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you sacrificing. Hold your fingers there and go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Second chapter. For a long time, I read this scripture and thought this scripture was just talking about me giving up sin. Or me giving up my old man. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 2. I think I got it right. 2 Corinthians 2. Go with 1 Corinthians. Make sure I got it right. I'm on the wrong book. Galatians 2:20. Not 1 Corinthians, Galatians 2:20. Just hit me. Galatians 2:20. Watch what it says. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Do you see that? It says, I do not frustrate the empowerment of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He said, I'm crucified. The Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. So when it says you're crucified with Christ, the Apostle Paul was using Jesus' action on the cross in relation to his life. In other words, what did Jesus actually do on the cross? He sacrificed his life. So the Apostle Paul is essentially saying that I am sacrificing my life for the sake of the gospel. He said, for me not to sacrifice my life for the sake of the gospel, I'm going to frustrate the empowerment of God. In other words, I'm going to hold up the power of God. I'm going to be a stumbling block to the power of God. I'm going to be in the way of the power of God, accomplishing what it needs to accomplish in the earth realm. Look what he said. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the flesh. So that means there's something you're sacrificing. I live by the faith of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the assignment of Jesus Christ. So Jesus' assignment gives me life. So if he gives me life, I can lay down my life. Golly, I can lay down my life, sacrifice my life, so that I don't be in the way of God's agenda. I can be empowered to accomplish it. So now it takes me back to Ruth, where we must be willing to pay the price to honor those we have covenant with. Look at Ruth, the first chapter, verse 18. Look at verse 17. She said, look at verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou liest, I will lie. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Look at verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Naomi began to speak into Ruth's life. Why? Because Naomi recognized that Ruth was willing to sacrifice in order to honor their relationship. There can be no honor without sacrifice. There can be no respect for a relationship without sacrificing for that relationship. Anytime you're in covenant with anybody and not willing to give something up, run from that person, because that means when times get hard, they're not willing to pay the price of sacrifice. Ruth was willing to pay the price to follow and honor this relationship. When she was willing to honor this relationship, she put herself in direct lineage of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Are you willing to put yourself in direct lineage of God's agenda to come into pass? Well, people will, from in the future, when you've gone on to be the glory, they'll be able to look back and say, hey, I remember her. I remember him. Because of them, I'm able to do what I'm doing today. Praise God. Those who, watch this now, those who are ignorant of the true power of covenant serve with incremental sacrifices as they play with a wait and see attitude. See, they not willing to sacrifice. So they do a little bit and see what they get in return. They do a little bit and see what they get in return. They do a little bit and see what they get in return. If that's the case, they are trusting the other person to receive from. Listen, when you're in covenant with whom God has connected you to, notice what I said. When you're in covenant with whom God has connected you to, that person is not responsible. Listen at me. That first person is not responsible for your advancement, because they didn't connect you to them. God did. God will use them at times, but they're not responsible. Get that. Understand that. Your pastor, your leader, is not responsible for your financial well-being. They are only responsible for putting you in a position to be financially free. They're only responsible for putting you in a position to which God can speak to you. Remember now, God told Abram, I am going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to empower those to prosper that empower you to prosper. So get your eyes off your leader for reciprocity like that. God is the one that's going to cause your life to advance. God uses covenant with each other. God uses covenant with man to put us in a position to where he can bless our lives. Grab that. Grab that. He puts us in covenant together so that he can use that as a means to cause blessings to come in our lives. God is so accurate with his principles. Even when he dealt with Abraham, the Bible says that Melchizedek received tithes of Abraham. Other words, God became flesh so that Abraham can come into covenant with somebody in the earth so God can bless him. Come into covenant with somebody in the earth that carried his agenda so God can bless him, because he couldn't violate Genesis 12 and 3. Even Abraham had to abide by Genesis 12 and 3. Praise God. So even from the beginning, God became flesh. Melchizedek, read Hebrews 7 and you'll see that. Became flesh so that Abraham can connect in covenant, can tie to him, so that God can turn around. And right after that, in that 15th chapter, God said in that first verse, I'm your rapidly increasing money supply. Praise God. So you cannot have a wait and see attitude when you're in covenant. You must take on Galatians 2:20 in your life. I am crucified with Christ. Okay, God, you told me this is who I'm connected to. Then I am sacrificing my self-will. Because you got to do that. God can't do it for you. I am crucifying my self-will, and God, I am dedicated to the agenda that you've given this man or this woman of God. Pastors, you must do this also. Pastors, you have to find that man or woman of God that God is connecting you to. You have to find that person who God is connecting you to so that you can sacrifice. Because see, remember that Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So therefore, you can't expect people that you're leading to do what you have not done. You can't expect people to do what you're not doing.
Praise God.
Number 7, the seventh accurate mental attitude that we must have. We must take a stand in righteousness with those who we have covenant with. Ruth was willing to take the same stance that Naomi took. She said, your God is going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. That means that when God connects you to someone, that you have to take the same stance in righteousness that they take, no matter how much the heat is. So now why are you able to speak so sure and so secure in your stance in righteousness, your stance in righteousness with that person? Because God told you to do it. God is not the author of confusion. God is not going to cause you to be connected to somebody that's going to cause you harm. Anybody that you're connected to that causes you harm, that you're not graced to handle, you chose that connection. Because God is not going to connect you to somebody that's going to drag you down. God is raising a genuine company of covenant partners that will cause the statue and statue of their fathers to rise to the next level. Well, listen to this. Like arrows in the quiver, they will be there when their father speaks with their enemies at the gates of the city. Look at Psalms 127:5 says, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies at the gate. Other words, your leader sometimes have to make tough decisions. Have to make tough decisions and do tough things. That is not the time to hide and run. That is the time for you to stand in righteousness, in the righteousness of God with them. And say, Pastor, nobody else might not be going with you, but I'm going with you. Nobody else might not believe God is speaking to you, but I believe God is speaking to you. How I know God is speaking to you? Because God told me that I'm connected to you. So there are going to be some things that God speaks to you that he'll directly speak to me. But I trust I can hear the voice of God about who I'm supposed to be in covenant with. So because of that fact alone, God can lead you, and I'm willing to follow and stand with you. A correct mental attitude. Praise God. There is a strong company of covenant believers that will bring the church into its full stature when they rise together in maturity. They will do great exploits, and the nation will take notice of them. So as I close, remember these seven accurate mental attitudes of covenant. Go over them. Study them. Here's why these are so important. This chapter is so pivotal. Because we had the accurate principles of covenant, and we have the accurate mental attitudes of covenant. This chapter is so pivotal because it's so different than the paradigm that we in the Western Hemisphere are so used to. Covenant is such a foreign word to us that we don't even sometimes know where to begin in covenant. We don't know how to think in covenant. When things get tough and because of ego and pride and because of we want to be liked by everyone, we want to be well looked at by everyone, that sometimes it's hard for us to stand out and stand alone and stand with those that need us to stand with them. Listen, Jesus went to the cross by himself, but he wasn't alone. Jesus hung on the cross by himself, but he wasn't alone. He had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had to leave for a moment, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't go far away. He had the people that were following him. Everybody wasn't scared like Peter. Everybody wasn't scared. There were some people that showed up at the crucifixion because they believed who Jesus said he was. There gonna be some people that in the whatever ministry you're a part of, whoever your leader, there gonna be some people that, hear me clear. There gonna be some people that run away scared when your leader makes a decision. But you must be like Jesus, and you must go to that cross, even if you have to go by yourself. Nobody else might not believe it, but I believe God is speaking. Everybody else is running off, but I believe God is speaking. You have to have that mental attitude at times. There were times when apostles would make decisions and do things and people would get upset and just leave. Even in LTMA, he makes a decision and some people don't like it, they leave. Goodbye. Goodbye. I know what God has told me. I know what God has spoken to me. And I'm not going to let another man shake the voice of God for me. God's voice has ultimate say-so in my life. So until God come tells me otherwise, nobody else needs to come talk to me about nothing else. That's the attitude you must have in covenant. I bless you. I look forward to being with you next week.